Well, hello and a very good afternoon to you all. Welcome to What's Cooking for December. And I hope that those of you who have celebrated Christmas have had a very enjoyable and peaceful time and perhaps are still celebrating. Maybe. Well, of course, today is the day after the big one, and some of you may be wondering what to do with some of those leftovers you may have. It's always very difficult, isn't it, to decide what to do. I mean, we have the usual turkey soups, turkey stews, turkey curries. But, you know, it's not all about turkey. And today I'm going to hopefully give you some ideas of what to do with some of your leftovers. And, well, we may have a couple of turkey recipes thrown in, but certainly not going to be all about turkey, as we shall see. So let's start with something nice and light. How about a smoked salmon and rice salad? For this recipe, you will need 500 grams cooked rice, cooled. And if you don't want to cook the rice to begin with, that's 300 grams of uncooked rice. A bunch of spring onions, sliced. Half a cucumber, deseeded and sliced. Small bag rocket leaves. A large handful leftover smoked salmon, about 75 grams. And for the dressing, 2 tablespoons rice vinegar, 2 tablespoons sesame oil, the zest and juice of 1 lemon, 1 teaspoon chili sauce, and that is optional. And
this is what you do.
Whisk the dressing ingredients and set aside. Toss together the salad ingredients in a large bowl with the dressing. Serve from the bowl or pile onto a serving platter. A nice quick one there to start with, and not one I have tried, but I think I certainly will be doing so. Now for a very popular recipe here in the UK, and this is bubble and squeak. This simple dish is perfect for using up leftover cooked potatoes, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, or spinach. Top with poached eggs for a scrumptious lunch. This recipe serves 4. And you will need 25 grams butter, 1 onion finely chopped, 450 grams cold cooked mashed potatoes, 225 grams cooked cabbage roughly chopped, 1 tablespoon plain flour for dusting, 1 tablespoon oil for frying, 1 tablespoon vinegar, 4 eggs, salt and freshly ground black pepper. And
this is what you do.
1. Melt the butter in a large, shallow, heavy-based frying pan, preferably non-stick. Add the onion and cook for 10 minutes, stirring frequently until soft. 2. Tip the softened onion into a large bowl and add the potatoes and cabbage. Season generously with salt and pepper and mix together with lightly floured hands. Shape the mixture into 4 rough cakes, each about 2 cm thick. 3. Wipe the pan clean with kitchen paper, then add the oil and heat. Put the cakes into the pan and fry over a medium heat for about 15 minutes, turning once until golden brown and crisp. 4. About 5 minutes before the end of cooking, prepare the poached eggs. Pour about 4 cm of boiling water into a large, wide frying pan. Add the vinegar and bring to the boil. Reduce the heat so that the water bubbles gently. Crack an egg into a cup or a small bowl, then gently tip it into the water. Repeat this with the remaining eggs. 5. Cook the eggs very gently for 1 minute, then gently spoon a little boiling water over the centre of each egg to cook the yolks. Poach for a further 2 minutes, then lift out the eggs with a draining spoon, allowing the water to drain. 6. Lay a poached egg on top of each bubble and squeak cake and break each yolk gently with the tip of a knife so that it drizzles temptingly. Chop 4 rashers of rindless back or streaky bacon and fry with the onions. You could make 1 large cake. Serve cut into wedges with cold roast beef and lashings of gravy. Our next recipe is for Christmas leftover pie, and this is brought to us by the chef Phil Vickery.
One of the questions I frequently get asked is what happens to all the bits and pieces left over from Christmas Day? This is my Christmas leftover pie, and it's very, very simple. Here is a selection of vegetables left over from Christmas Day. So we've got Brussels sprouts, we've got parsnips, we've got carrots and roast potatoes. To that, I'm going to add 3 bird roasts chopped up nice and cold and all the stuff we've got left over. Just literally put the whole lot together. Then I'm going to add a lot of chopped parsley, probably about 6 or 8 tablespoons into there, and then enough thick gravy to bring the whole thing together. Now, we don't want to go mad here because that gravy will let itself down slightly when it recooks. And the gravy becomes almost like the glue to the whole dish. And we just want to make a nice good old mix. Now, if you haven't got any vegetables left over, then a few peas, a few beans, whatever, will be perfect in this pie. It really is whatever you've got lying around. That is about perfect. And then literally tip that straight into an oval pie dish. Leave it nice and proud. A little bit of flour and the pack of puff pastry. Extra flour on there. I'm going to keep this. Try and keep it the shape of the bowl or dish you're cooking it in. It makes it much easier in the long run. It's not going to be perfect, but you'll better get a rough idea. So that's roughly the size we want. So what I do is take a quick check there. That's perfect. Then, a little bit of beaten egg. A bit of glue here. This will stick the pastry to the dish. Just like that. And then with a scrap pastry, we just cut some little bits and you stick those around the edge, like so. This is all the scrap pastry that's left over. This helps stick the pastry to the dish and stops it shrinking around the edge. So nothing gets wasted. Around we go. Be quite brutal at this part, you know. You want to really stick it onto the dish. And don't worry about looking too perfect. There's a reason for that. Squeeze that down. And then we'll re-egg the pastry. And then this makes sure that the lid fits on nice and snugly, like that. That goes straight on top. And you just thumb in the edge, like that. And that stops the pastry from sort of squeezing back when you're cooking it. And because you've actually exercised it quite well when you've rolled it out. So thumb in, and then the sharp knife, start at one edge, and just cut straight round the dish, making sure you don't snag it too much. That. And with floured fingers, you then squeeze up the edge. And if you can leave this to rest for sort of 15 minutes before you cook it, it ensures that the pastry doesn't shrink back when you come to pop it in the oven. Again, a bit of egg over the top. Don't go mad. Just enough to give it a nice shine when it cooks. And then just run around the top. Like that. And finally, the most important part, you just make three little holes in the top. 1, 2, 3 to let the steam out. If you do that after you've egged it, the egg doesn't fill the holes. That's it. Into the oven. There it is. After 35 minutes, nice and golden. Beautiful. Look at that. Now, only thing to do is to cut it open and have a look. Look at that pie. And I'd serve that with red cabbage or beetroot. Beautiful. Now that beats a turkey sandwich.
So now we come to our first turkey recipe, and this is for turkey and chorizo bake. This serves 6, and you will need 80 grams chopped chorizo, 1 onion finely chopped, 1 green pepper finely chopped, 1 red pepper finely chopped, 3 sticks celery finely chopped, salt and pepper to taste, 1 400 gram tin chopped tomatoes, 400 grams leftover cooked turkey cut into large chunks, 1 teaspoon rosemary finely chopped, and that is optional, 2 tablespoons half fat creme fraiche, 3 large potatoes peeled and quartered, 1 large or 2 small sweet potatoes quartered, 1 to 2 celeria cut into large cubes, 15 grams or 1 knob of butter, and
this is what you do.
1. Put the chorizo into a wide pan and heat gently with 1 tablespoon of water until the fat starts to come out and the red colour is beginning to cover the base of the pan. Add the onions, peppers, celery, and turn up to medium. Fry gently until the onions and peppers have softened. There should be enough fat from the chorizo, but if the veg is sticking to the bottom of the pan, add 1 tablespoon of water and keep stirring. 2. Add the tin of tomatoes and bring to the boil. Then simmer for 10 minutes until the sauce has reduced somewhat. Add the rosemary if using and check for seasoning. Add salt and pepper to taste. Turn heat down to gentle simmer and add turkey meat, heating without the meat falling apart. Turn off heat and stir through creme fraiche. Then pour into a large rectangular casserole dish. 3. Meanwhile, put the potatoes, sweet potatoes, and celeriac into a pan and cover with water and boil until soft. Drain, then mash with a knob of butter and salt and pepper. 4. Spoon the warm orange mash over the turkey mixture, then either bake at 180 degrees C, that's gas 4, for 20 minutes to crisp the top or chill till required. Once needed, bake for 30 minutes from cold at 180 degrees C, gas 4. Serve with a green vegetable like cabbage or broccoli. And next up, we have a firm favourite, I would think, and that is for turkey curry. And this comes to us from Marco Pierre White's kitchen.
I'm asked many times what to do with the turkey leftovers after Christmas Day lunch. My favourite way is to make a curry. Very simple, very quick. And once we start, it's approx 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Unsweetened desiccated coconut, mild curry powder, unsalted butter, flour, pineapple, banana, roughly chopped onion, apple, 1 litre of water with 2 Knorr chicken stock pots. So the first thing to do is take our flour, pop it in the oven to cook it dry until it's lightly brown. We take our butter, take our pineapple, roughly chop the apple. As you can see, I've left the skin on. It's no point because we're going to pass it out at the end. Banana. As you can see, just roughly chop it and add your chopped onion. And so now we cook that until it starts to break down. By cooking it down, we're concentrating those flavours. My fruit has now been cooking in the butter for approx 10 minutes. So if I take my curry powder, just work that in. And when you're making a curry, never forget that the recipe is only a guideline. If you like your curry a little stronger, then add more. If you don't like it so strong, take some out. So now we cook our fruit and our curry powder to a paste, which should take about 2-3 minutes. So as you can see, I'm working my curry powder with my fruit. Why? So it doesn't catch. It's now slowly turning into a paste. And then we add some desiccated coconut. My flour's lightly browned. I work the flour into the paste. Now we add our stock and just now dissolve my flour, my desiccated coconut, my spice. As I've said many times before, in the domestic kitchen, Knorr chicken stock pot, in my opinion, is a necessity. You can't make a stock at home as good as Knorr chicken stock pot. So the difference is enormous. It's the last of the stock and a tiny little bit of thyme. Bring to the boil, simmer for about 8 to 10 minutes. If you'd like to finish it with a little cream, that's your choice. It's optional. Pass it through a fine sieve. Once again, that's optional. In with the turkey, cook for a few more minutes, and there we have our lunch. So my sauce has now been cooking for about 10 minutes. So I'm going to put a tiny bit of cream into my curry sauce. One, it will knock back the spice a bit, but secondly, it gives it that richness. So as you can see, my sauce is ready. If you wished, you could liquidise your sauce. Me personally, I like to take everything out. So if you think of my sauce, it's quite heavily fruit-based, but the combination of pineapple, banana and apple with the spice works very well. So that is our curry sauce. It's light, but it still has texture, and it's full of flavour. Nice balance of fruit and spice. So we transfer our sauce back to the casserole, and now add the turkey. And so we bring the heat back into the sauce slowly with the meat. So as the sauce is getting hotter, the turkey is getting hotter. So there's our turkey, been cooking for about 10 minutes now. So as you see, it doesn't break up. It's very mild, so all the family can eat it. Some flaked almonds and a little fresh coriander. So there's a very simple sauce, not too hot, quite fruity, with a bit of spice. It's great for leftovers. For example, turkey, chicken, pork. So it's your choice. Just take the basic and take it wherever you wish to take it.
You're the listening to the Pomo Voice.
Now, of course, not everyone eats turkey for Christmas. Some of us have chicken or beef, perhaps pork, a gammon. And there are these days these four-bird roasts. You can buy one bird inside another, inside another, inside another. And I've never tried one. I've sort of been tempted, but I'm not quite sure that we would eat it all. There are, of course, those of us who eat goose for Christmas dinner. Something I have never tried, but I know many people who have. So if you enjoyed a goose yesterday for your dinner and have leftovers, here's one for you. This is goose risotto. For this, you will need 3 tablespoons olive oil, 4 shallots, peeled and finely chopped, 2 garlic cloves, crushed, 1 litre of chicken stock, 400 grams risotto rice, such as Arborio, 1 tablespoon whole green peppercorns, 2 tablespoons butter, 250 grams, 9 ounces, chestnut mushrooms, finely sliced, 500 grams leftover goose meat, finely chopped, 1 tablespoon chopped mixed fresh herbs, sage, rosemary, parsley, tarragon, chives, 4 tablespoons freshly grated parmesan, salt and freshly ground black pepper, dressed green salad to serve, and that is optional. And
this is what you do.
1. In a large heavy based pan over a medium heat, heat 2 tablespoons of the oil and gently fry the shallots for 2 to 3 minutes or until softened but not coloured. Add the garlic and cook for a further 2 to 3 minutes or until softened. 2. Meanwhile, place the stock into a pan and bring to a gentle simmer. 3. Add the rice to the pan with the garlic and onion and stir to coat in the oil. Cook for 1 to 2 minutes or until the rice is translucent. 4. Add a few ladles of hot stock to the rice and stir well. Then add the peppercorns. Cook until most of the stock has been absorbed before adding another ladleful. Continue cooking until the rice is creamy but is still al dente. About 20 minutes. You may not need all of the stock. 5. Meanwhile, heat the remaining tablespoon of olive oil with 1 tablespoon of the butter in a frying pan until foaming. Add the mushrooms and fry for 1 to 2 minutes or until tender. 6. Fold the mushrooms into the cooked risotto, followed by the chopped goose meat, fresh herbs and Parmesan cheese. Season to taste with salt and freshly ground black pepper. 7. To serve, spoon the risotto into serving dishes. If desired, serve with a green salad alongside. Now, how about some more seafood recipes? And first, we have one for prawn pasta. And again, this is Marco Pierre White.
The next dish that I'm going to cook is a very simple dish. Spaghetti with tiger prawns, chilli, garlic, parsley. We deglass with white wine. We cook the prawns in olive oil. Through the cooking, it emulsifies, which creates our sauce. Very quick, very simple. Once we start, it'll be finished within 10-12 minutes. So, as you can see, I've got a pan of boiling water. I season with stock pots. Chicken stock pots is the best. So we dissolve those into the boiling water. In my opinion, dry pasta is the best. I used to have a friend of mine who had a 3-star Michelin. he always used dry pasta, unless he was making tortellini or ravioli. You know, you think of fresh pasta, it's always very heavy, it's always very dense, absorbs the water. So I would always recommend a good brand of pasta from a supermarket. It tells me on the packet 12 minutes. I always think 12 minutes is too long. I like mine al dente, so I may take mine out at 9, 9.5 minutes. Because remember, it's going to go from there into the pan and then to the table. It's continuing to cook all the time. So make a deduction. So if it's 12 in the boiling water, then what you should do is say 10 at least. 10, into the pan, minute in the pan with the sauce, in the bowl, goes to the table. That's now 11, 12 minutes. I'll bring that back to the boil, put in my pasta, stir it round, start it cooking. At 8 minutes, I'll put my shrimp in this pan. Then I'll throw in my garlic, my shallots, my chilli, for approximately a minute. Deglass with my white wine. The white wine and the olive oil will emulsify. Some chicken stock pot again, into the pan. The emulsification, throw in the parsley for the infusion. Out comes the pasta. A minute in the pan, and away we go. So you can see my water's boiling now. I put 250 grams in, and I reckon 250, yeah, I reckon I'll make about two portions with what I've got. Olive oil in the pan. So while the pasta's cooking, just a tiny bit of chilli, very finely sliced. Again, that's optional. Not everyone likes chilli. These are tiger prawns, fresh. They've been shelled. They've had their entrails removed. I got them down the supermarket this morning. Very easy to work with. They'll take approximately 1 minute to cook, so it's very quick. So there's no point cooking way in advance. So in with your shrimps. As you can see, seal them, turn them so they cook evenly. In with some shallots and garlic and some chilli. Tiny bit of white wine. A little chicken stock, some parsley, emulsify to create your sauce. In with the pasta and toss, tombe. Mix it in very well. Your prawns, and to finish, some unchopped parsley. There we have our pasta with tiger prawns, chilli, garlic, and parsley.
Well, that's all we have time for, and I do hope I've given you some ideas at least for some of those leftovers. To download or to listen to this show again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery, or you can visit www.incx.org, where you can subscribe to the What's Cooking podcast. This is Sue Hadfield saying look after yourselves and each other, and as always, happy cooking.